Time to over. Little Bessie's Tom comes for the little cedar trees to plant down his place. And then Mr. Weaver, that's on Saturday. Then on Sunday, Mr. Weaver is here. We were trying to get some information on his experiences with a dog. It's very hard to do. This Channel 2 over. And Mr. Weaver is Sunday, the 7th of January, 72. Tom first, Miss Little Bessie's Tom, and then Mr. Weaver, most of this reel on Mr. Weaver. We're trying to get experiences of his dogs to send to the Hunter's Horn. And that's Sunday morning, the 7th of January, 72.
I was just eating the peanut butter.
Yeah.
That's probably what people live on, don't it?
90% of them, yeah.
Ready mix and cold cuts and...
Yeah.
That's about the way it goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
God? He says he'd like to speak to you.
Keep down, Jenny. Come see.
Okay.
I'm Mr.
Meyer. What's that?
I come to check on those trees that you was telling me about.
Oh, yes. Yes, there's a whole lot of them.
All right. You can show me where they are, and then I'll get them.
You think it's a good time to put them out?
Not the best time right now. Not the last of January.
How you figure that?
Well, that's what they are.
Give me a little saucer over there.
My father and them, that's when they set out the pecan trees and pear trees, orange trees. All trees is good to, when it's really cold, see the saps down.
Mm-hmm.
It's more warm.
Mm-hmm. Your daddy, will he plant trees?
Oh, he used to. My father's been dead now about 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, we had a place out there in Davis County. Well, we had an 8-acre place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You brought up out there?
Yeah. I left there when I was very young and came to Gainesville. See, my brother, of course. School was so far away out there.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, it was near.
You got so much stuff down there. That's nice you got down there.
Yeah, well, I tell you, what most of these, this is really for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Detroit, and she's moving down the latter part of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So she bought her a place out there, Lake Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants like a few trees on it. It's not too much shade.
Out at Lake Cross?
Yeah. That's out on 441 you go. You know where Hague?
Sure.
Well, just before you get to Hague, it's just a little small. So you make a right till I think the road is 357.
Yeah.
You take this about 4 miles down there.
That's right. Nice country out there.
It is nice. Oh, there's good land out there for farming. They grow some cucumbers out there, cucumbers, string beans.
That make you dissatisfied. Just staying home, wouldn't it?
Right. Well, I'll be going to and fro.
You know, I had a chance to buy, when I first come down here, I had a chance to buy 340s up there.
Yeah.
In that heavy land, and I didn't know what it was, and it is flat, and I come from the hill country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just made me sort of sick of the stomach to look at it. And since then, I've just kicked myself.
Oh. You know, see the difference in the saw then, or whatever.
Yes, and that was, let me see, that was $125 an acre, 120 acres, you see. I could have quit work, couldn't I?
Well, out there, as far as way over where my daughter bought, $500 an acre now.
Yeah, and you're lucky to get that.
That's right. She says she wanted to be in the country. Detroit is clustered. I wouldn't live there. Too many people.
Just full of them, man.
Automobiles, oh man. Well, that's the way they make them all in practice. So there gotta be plenty of them.
Yeah. You all done a pretty good job on Miss Bessie.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she's coming on. I had to shake up yesterday though. She's outside walking around bare feet. I got all of that, so now today she says she don't feel so good today.
Yeah.
And so she got a bit walking out and it was late in the afternoon and see the dew was falling.
Oh.
Damp.
Well, she ought to know about all that.
Well, I tell you, 88 years old, smile, they can't think. They just got to let them have their way about it. So somebody drowned and they check her right then, it'd be all right.
Yeah.
But she there by herself, she just wandered around.
Uh-huh. Just sort of when the notion strikes her.
That's right.
I don't know, somewhere along the line, you ought to have somebody a little younger living with you, oughtn't you?
Yes, it's true. It would be nice if it was a woman around.
Mm-hmm.
But you find somebody. They don't want a good home. I know. You know, she's nice at best, and she's nice. See, I used to room with her in New York when she lived in New York.
Oh, really?
I've been known her about 45 years.
You roomed with her in New York?
That's right. 128th Street. I knew both of her sons.
Yeah.
Calvin and Calvin. You know, Kyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I knew Kyle. I saw him once down here.
Yeah. We all stayed right there for years.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was she doing there then?
Well, she had a house at the time. She didn't wait because she had to take care of the house. But she must have had about 12 rooms.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm. She had a big
house. Oh. Well, was you one of the roomers?
Yes. Well, yeah. That's what I said. I was one of the roomers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've lived in them old rooming houses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I've
it was, it was a pretty nice bunch if it stayed there. She didn't deal with no rough ones.
See, the beauty of them old rooming houses is that it wasn't living at home, but it's next thing to it.
That's right.
Because you know everybody in there.
That's right.
And then you had a place downstairs where you could sit and read. And
that's right. Mm-hmm.
There's always something to do. Better than living at home sometimes, wasn't it?
That's right. Sure. I enjoyed it there very well.
Yeah. You don't have to feel sorry for people in them days that lived in a rooming house, do you?
Not at all. No, sir. She's been down here, I guess, now. Oh, she's been down here around 30 years or 34 years, something like that.
She come back in around 53.
53, what? Oh.
She came back the year Ms. Van Arnam married.
Who?
Florence Rogers.
Oh.
Married. She come back that year, and she made the salads for their wedding party over there. I remember them saying.
Oh, I see.
Now, I may be wrong. I don't get things straight all the time about it.
But I know, I moved from New York City. I moved up in Westchester up to New Rochelle. I stayed up there for a while.
But her place was on 128th Street.
128th Street, Fifth Avenue.
And Fifth Avenue.
Right. Number two, was it right next to
you? Oh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that while her family was growing up.
That's right. Of course, the boys are pretty good size at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bigger boys, along with me, in college. Years, I'd say about 8 or 10 years old now at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, when did she leave there? When they was... She didn't keep that place there, too.
Oh, no. I think she taken a job working for a priest. Living on Madison Avenue downtown. He had an apartment downtown. She,
mm-hmm.
She worked there for a long time.
So
she came back to Florida a long time before I knew.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she got back before you did. How long have you all been back?
8 years.
Is that all?
Yes, 8 years.
Well, I've been down here a little longer than that. I mean, down right in here. I come out here in 61, Thanksgiving 61. I didn't move out here then. I just got the title of it.
I see. Mm-hmm.
But Miss Bessie is one of the first people I knew down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she worked there at the Rogers for a long time there. Ruby's over here.
Mm-hmm.
I came home once and found out she was over here.
I'll show you those.
All right.
Let me get my hat if I can find it.
Get to where that. I can walk so much, then I get short-winded.
Oh.
Well, with this.
Yeah, he died. He's exhausted too. He went much farther than I did. And. What
are you standing there for?
I can't breathe.
Miss Williams, let me tell you, if you hold up now, catch your breath, man. To get started, he got to get back over there. You see.
Mr. Weaver, I looked through this magazine and I found one of the finest articles. This fellow wrote in all about one of his friends. And you know, this man didn't start raising foxhounds until I guess he was 50 years old. And you know, he said he doesn't know how many he raised in the next 20 years. But he remembers his best hound. And I think that's just remarkable that all the hounds he raised, he can just pick out one and say that was his best hound.
Well, you can do that, and sometimes you can pick a puppy out and it'll be the best.
Would you ever do that?
Mm-hmm.
You remember one particular hound?
Yes, little Julie back in... that's wrong on that dog. Everybody, I tried to give away and nobody wouldn't have her. And I kept her. Of course, that isn't what you want to know right now, that dog isn't. Because that's backwards in what you were saying about her. She was one of the best ones I ever owned. Couldn't give her away. Nobody wouldn't have her. Little dog, about that high. Not big pretty dog like these others. She was about this high. She sneaked down, crawled up to you and timid. Weren't fussy or anything. She'd come up there and had a little dish face and grin. And just grin at you. Everybody wouldn't even look at her. Well, I carried her on a hunting. I tried to give away and couldn't. Carried her on a hunting. Walked about 3 miles out of town, and she did. She wouldn't get away from me. The other dog went on, train dog went on, struck a fox, run it 3 hours, and to come back. And when they came in, I coached along, went on, and struck another one about 3 hours and treated it, and I blowed my horn and came in. They're well-trained dogs. So she was still there. sneak along that way, little grinning thing, you know, looked like nothing. Well, she then she came on then, and I started walking back to town.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got up that little piece, I seen the old dog wind up this way and leave the road.
Mm-hmm.
With the old, then this little dog followed him. Went up on a high hill, North Alabama up there. And she, this old dog barked.
Mm-hmm.
She opened up on the track. They went to running. They were all of them running. I heard a new dog fall in there.
I told you, quit looking at me, Faye. Listen, Mr. Weaver.
And she went ahead and she went in that race and they run 3 hours. And she stayed right on the front end. Of course, the other dog was little jaded.
Uh-huh.
She stayed right up on the front with him. Well, she went ahead then. Then I blowed my horn, and the old dog came in. She came up just a whining, taking on over me. She had done something, found something she wanted to do. 9 months old.
Which dog was that?
Oh, I was back.
That
was little Julie back in the 30s.
Her name was Julie?
Yeah.
You remember all those names?
Oh, yeah, all your famous little dogs. See, I just had them for my own use, you see. I didn't use them for, use them. Of course, I'd let people have them, give a lot of people that didn't have money to get them any dogs wanted to hunt. I'd give them some of them.
Uh-huh.
And carried that little dog on, and she run, never was defeated, in 7 years.
7 years.
Now, something I didn't want to tell. My wife turned her out, never fed but twice in 13 years, turned her out, and somebody had poison, neighbors did, and poisoned her. She turned her out twice in 13 years. Now then, I had a lot of story about that little dog. I'd like to tell you, but it'd take a long time.
Well, that's what we've got.
That's what you want?
Yes.
You want me to go and finish that story?
I'd love to hear some, would you?
Oh, yes.
Well, so that went ahead and first morning my wife told me, I came in and I was in the produce business working on a commission. I had no money to run business in. And
that was after the crash.
Yeah. And she went ahead and then I sold the other, I had 3 left, you know, and I sold those for $100. She borrowed that and she's still using it.
Tell about the little dog. We don't care about your wife.
Well, you got to have a little something in with it. You don't, it won't look good. You can cut that off when you go right. Now, leave that off when you go right.
Didn't you have a dog named Ann? You said you had a dog named Ann.
Yeah, that's a good story, too. It's a sad story. I really shouldn't think too much about these. I don't feel good. But I'm going to try to do the best I can to tell you the stories of what I do tell, right, correct.
Uh-huh.
So that, now then, did you want just one story? Or do you want,
I don't
want
to know about your dog.
About little Ann. Well, I read a story in a magazine of that Ms. Smith up there, they found it, is written up about a little boy. And so that this boy wanted some dogs, and he's playing down on the lake where he's fishing one day. And he seen some magazines and papers out there. He walked out there and picked up these papers. And looked on it, and there's a man that advertised some red bone hounds for $50 a pair. Well, he tried to get his father to buy them, and he couldn't. He wouldn't furnish the money. So they're out in the country, lived out in the country. They went ahead, and he kept working for 3 years. And picking blackberries and saving all of his money. Well, he eventually got up $50. He walked in town where his granddaddy run a store, and he gave his granddaddy this year to all of those dogs for him. All of his money he'd saved up in 3 years. picking blackberries and selling them. Well, he bought, when he went into town, you see, I'll have to be, wait just a minute now. I'll get my, the fomitia operation, my head don't work too good. And I want
to. You have to shake it a little every now and then.
Yeah. Well, I need rubbing a little bit. That's the only thing that does it any good. Medicine don't do it any good. But I got to just rest a minute. See, I'm weak.
Yeah. I go out there.
Now, I want to think just a little. Let me think just a little bit on this here. I want to tell you this story correctly, see. And if I can ever find that magazine, I tried to keep it. And if I can ever find it, I'll give it to you.
You keep them like I do. If I want to keep something, I won't lose it.
I'll hide it and I can't find it, then don't remember where I went back to.
Yeah,
I can't help it. It's weakness. Doctors tell me that's weakness. And that's you and overwork what causes that.
Mm.
And your weakness. And when you're young, you can remember, go right there. I could. Get up and go in it.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Beaver, when you're young, you just don't give a damn.
No, not altogether that. I wouldn't say that because we don't impress it on the mind all the time what we should, you know, when we're young.
Well, now, this little boy had his money and went into town. His granddaddy had a store?
Yeah, his granddaddy had a store, and he gave him this money to order his dogs, and when it came, he got a letter.
Yeah.
That there's in the depot 20 miles.
20 miles.
And he picked him up a little sack of food, you know, a flour sack of food and stuff, and he went on, he'd camp out and went and got these dogs. And when they came in with him, he let them in home and came in with his dogs, you know.
Yeah.
And when the price had come down, $10 on these dogs, and he had $10 left. He went in there and bought his grandmother, bought his mother and dad, bought him a dress and a pair of overalls and a jumper to wear, and some shoes and things for that $10. Everything is cheap then, you see.
Yeah.
And he bought that and brought it on and let his dogs.
Yeah.
Well, they went ahead and trained these dogs, and they turned out to be wonderful dogs. Well, he seen in the paper, this little fella did, they'd got to be two or three years old. Seen in the paper where they was going to have a field trial.
Yeah.
And they went to this field trial like you've been reading about. That's the reason I'm telling you this story.
Uh-huh.
And so that he went to reading about this dog, I get mixed up sometimes. I'm trying to get it right. He went to, let's see, where was I?
He went out
field
to the
trial?
Field trial.
Yeah, oh, he read about the field trial, you know. And he went, and his grandfather and his daddy went, and they went ahead, you know, and they got out there, and his red bones had treed so many. Read one coon, and that's why they passed each other and found out the walker dogs, the tree and walkers, and they had two, and then he caught up with them, and they had got up to three. And it turned cold and went to rain and snow. And when they went on, you know, and they got even again, long time they hunted and hunted. After a while, come on in, and when the hunt was all over, before the hunt was over, they was going to the dogs, they had another coon tree. His red bones dead. And when they treed this one, well, they was all trying to get to the tree, and the grandfather was way back behind. And directly looked back, and walking through the snow and sleet, you know, and they looked back, and they missed him. They had to go back and hunt him. When they found him, he had fell down and broke his leg. Then they had to tote him in and go on in. And when they wound up, they brought him on in, you see, and got the coon, went on, and when they checked up on him, his dogs, the red bones, had treed four coons. They'd got four coons and on a field trial, and the walkers had got, three and walkers had got three. And he won the field trial, and he won $300. Well, I hadn't told you about how he named these dogs. Now, little Ann was a little female.
Uh-huh.
And so that I ought to have told you that a little bit earlier, and it comes in there for their name. He called one of them Ann, and let's see, I don't believe I remember for sure about the other one's name. There's so many dogs I've heard the names, you know, and just as the stories that I read. And he went ahead and...
Oh, there you read that. That's where you got the name Little Ann?
Mm-hmm.
From that story.
From that story, and I had some puppies, and I called this one Little Ann.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a little ahead of it. I'm trying to think just how that went exactly. So that, yeah, here's what I wanted to finish up by on. He went out hunting after that, and his dog killed a treated tiger calf.
Mm-hmm.
And he's up in the tree and he didn't have nothing to shoot it with. And after a while, this tiger came back down and got on his dogs. And he killed his male dog right there, and he kept little Ann 3 days. He got her home, and she lived 3 days and died. But he had won this $300 in the field trial. Well, he was worrying about that, and his mother and dad told him, says, son, don't worry about that. We can take that $3 and move to town. That $300 of his money that he got and move to town. And said, don't worry about that. And they took his $300 and went on and moved back to town, you know, and the poor little boy didn't have no dogs. And I named this little dog Ann, of mine. All right, fellow from over here at, down here at Lowell, came up, wanted me to go hunting with him. Wanted to go over towards Wilson over there. Well, I loaded up my dog, and we got his dog, and I told him, I said, you got permission to hunt on those people's land? He said, yeah, they don't care for something. We've been hunting over there. I said, well, if it is, I'll go. If it don't, I don't want to go. So we went over there, and we jumped the fox. Pulled out right down in there where some fellas had killed some hogs, and the Lord caught them. And went across this fence, and it was all posted, and the dog went right, that fox went right in there. We run all night long, you see, and he'd begin to come in about 12 o'clock, and by 3 o'clock, every dog he had done quit and come out. These dogs, two of them, little Ann, Mayflower, and Grady Hagen, and Cindy Lou, and Bald Eagle were still running. They're back in there, and we couldn't go across that fence, you know, to go in there to get them. Next morning, about 9 o'clock, they went out of here and going west. And we didn't see a dog, and I think next morning, some of Bald Eagle came in just about daylight. And we stayed there. I stayed all night long next day. And stayed over there in my car. Well, this man and a friend of mine from Gainesville, Johnny Albritton from Gainesville, was with us. He'd come from Gainesville, and I stayed over 3 days and nights, and they wouldn't let me go in there and get my dogs out.
Mm. Now, that was way back then, Mr. Weaver.
Oh, that hadn't been too many years ago. That's the grandmother of the oldest dogs I have right now.
Oh, that's recent, since World War II.
Oh, yeah.
This 50s.
Yeah, well, all of that since World War... No, not... This is back about... 12 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, this was.
1960?
And so that I don't remember exact dates, you know, but
yeah.
It was in the fall of the year.
Yeah.
But I know I stayed there 3 days and nights, and the Lord's out there driving around, and he'd talk to me, and they all agreed to not let nobody go in there. And he was out there, and I met the man, he was a fine man, you know, and we stayed around and talked. And Monday afternoon, I stayed there, Saturday night, Friday night, and Sunday, I stayed over there, and these other folks bring me something to eat and drink. I don't go on people's properties that are posted, not unless I got a written order.
Yeah.
It don't pay to do those things. So that, anyway, about 6 o'clock, no, it was about 12 o'clock, Sunday night, Cindy Lou came in. I didn't see any, hear nothing of a dog till 6 o'clock the next morning. Grady and one of the other dogs came in. And so that was 4 of mine. That left little Ann and Mayflower, that's mates, just a year old and running good. They still didn't come in at night. I could hear the little fellas running back in there, and they'd lie out and rest in daytime. It wouldn't come out before I could have had the right to pick them up back, you know.
Where was that, Mr. Weaver?
That's why you, I'll give you the date a while ago.
I said, where?
That's over there from between Williston and Montbrook and Ocala. So that I stayed there, and Monday afternoon, he says, they don't come out. The sheriff did. Says, we got some property down. I says, I'll open my gate and let you go down and look for your dogs on our property. That's what the deputy, the sheriff told me. He didn't like it the way the rest of them was doing, you know.
Oh, he liked dogs.
No, he didn't specially like dogs, but it wasn't right to do that. I mean, not let me go and get my dog. See, a dog can't read, you know. And they're going a piece of caution. Well, I didn't know it. I was a stranger. I went over there, and there's a hunter over there, and his mother wouldn't let, and he tried to get his mother to let me go in there and get my dogs. And she wouldn't do it for 3, 4, 5 days. I couldn't go in there. I didn't go in there. Well, eventually, Mayflower, in about 3 days, came out. Well, the next Saturday, and little Ann is still in there. And boy, did I worry about naming little Ann, as this other boy had so much trouble with his dog and lost it, you know. Then there come, I had little Ann, and nobody didn't especially like her, but she died with a cancer at 10 years old.
She did.
And last two races on, got 2 cats, and she was the main dog in there with that cancer on her at 10 years old. But she didn't live long after that.
Is she a walker dog?
Yeah, she's the same stock that these dogs used to have up here.
Oh, so like Dan?
Yeah.
And
she, you know, that barks so much. Now, she didn't bark and raise her. She'd bark as you come up, but she'd go ahead and lie down, you see. She didn't bark. Nellie's just like her, nearly.
Oh,
that,
is she?
That and it barks so much now. She's nearly like her.
Same color and everything.
And, yeah, makes me want to call her a little Ann sometimes. But I didn't want to name her another, and I had so much hard luck with that. Well, so that they, after a while, when I got Mayflower out, I didn't go back anymore. She was the mother of Dan and those dogs.
Uh-huh.
What time we got?
We got about 15 minutes.
We went ahead and I wish I didn't have these spells like I do, but I can't.
Mr. Weaver, it don't matter whether you have spells or not. We don't care.
I know.
Were you running the dogs in the 20s when you was so busy?
In the 20s?
Uh-huh.
I didn't have any at first the 20s, but I had some, but I left them in Alabama up there,
yeah.
But I didn't bring them. I run in 14, but I'd rather finish this story. And then I'll give you the others later some other time, because it takes some little bit to remember. You've got them pressed on your mind. See, I hadn't thought about telling this story. I'm just having to work this as I go along. That's the reason it makes it hard on me.
Yeah.
And so that, I forgot now where I was at.
Oh, he didn't want to name that dog Little Land. He had so much hard luck with it.
Yeah. So that next Saturday, I stayed over 3 days and nights, and then I came on in and decided maybe little Anna's gone. But Saturday afternoon, I got in my car and drove back over there. And there's so many of the people around now is trying their best to help me with my dogs. And didn't like it because these other people, because you couldn't blame these other people, that man going down and killing their hogs. I didn't blame him a bit. I told him I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't blame you for not moving anybody going there. So that I was driving back, and just as I started to turn north, I was going west, and I was driving back, started to turn off the road, and I could see way up on a hill. There's a lady standing up out down the road, watching back that way. And I started to turn off, she began to motion, come this way, come this way. I figured then maybe she knew something somewhere or another. And I rushed up as quick as I could and didn't go back out to drive around, come back around this place. You know, I could drive all around it, you know. But I couldn't go in there. So that this lady kept motioning. I drove up there and she said, Mr. Weaver, says, I've been standing here 2 hours. Says, I think I seen your little dog right down the road, and I've tried to catch you. Come up this way, coming this way. I was back out, going back where we'd turn them loose, back up on another place. We weren't hunting on these people's property, but the fox went in there. So that we went ahead and we got there. I got up there, and she says, I seen her just a few minutes ago, says, she went back down there, and I says, I've been waiting 2 hours wishing you'd come along so I could tell you, so you could get your little dog. So that I rushed down there and blowed my horn, here come little Ann run out. Boy, you're talking about a proud fella, I was a proud.
Is that right?
And when she run out, I got out and caught her, and boy, she was all over me, and just she was so proud, and I brought her in home. I came back up there, and that law was so nice to me. I had some puppies, you know. He says, he told me he was going to build out there, and his boys said they'd like to, wouldn't mind if they had a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I says, well, I'll tell you. You've been very nice to me. I said, tell you what I'm going to do. I've got some puppies over there. I'll bring you one. And so now I went back over there, you see, and I carried him a puppy and gave it to him. He wanted for his little girl that's going to be old, his grandchildren are going to be old out there on the keep out there on the farm. So I carried the prettiest little red puppy you ever seen. His mother was red, but his 7/8 Walker. Mm. Nearly a full blooded Walker, but wasn't quite. I carried it over, I gave it to him. Boy, those children was the proudest you ever seen. They were as proud as I was, and I was proud to give it to him because he helped me out all he could. And I gave him this puppy, you see.
Uh-huh.
And they kept it. Got it up a great big. Oh, about this high, I reckon. They're out there playing with it, and I told him he'd have to keep it up, you know. Somebody come along with a car, bang, she went and killed her little puppy right in front of the house. I never did go back to see him anymore. I hated it so bad. I asked him if he wanted another, if he ever did come see me. If I had any puppies, I'd give it to him. He never did come.
Well, you know, this fella here, he was a vet. So
veterinary.
And he gave a puppy to a friend. Oh, he liked that puppy. That was a good friend. And then he dropped by one day, and he could see they weren't taking care of that puppy. So he just picked it up and walked off with it and raised it. Yeah, it turned out to be one of his best dogs. Now, that's remarkable, that man. He'd just keep an eye on his dogs if he gave them away. He wouldn't let anybody mistreat them.
Well, I tried to not, and it happened to come back to me, but a lot of them give them someone else or sell them and wouldn't give them back to me, and I'd give them to them. But he didn't work too good, just like he. Now, I didn't do that. I didn't go and take them back. If I could, I'd buy them back. But really, correct thing, they should have given them back to him, but I didn't. And if they didn't charge me anything, I always give the children something, you know.
Oh, sure.
And, things like that, but I quit that some time ago. Now, then the way I do now is people that help me feed these dogs, and if they want one, they can come and get one.
Uh-huh.
And because back at that, the other time, when I tell you about these other things, I was working. I had money to buy anything I wanted to, you see.
Uh-huh.
But I could work. I wasn't sick like I am now. Last 10 or 12 years, it's been rough on me.
Mr. Weaver, you all just had those walkers. This fellow, he raised walkers and Julys and trees.
Yeah, they're walkers, Julys, and they're Hud Spence and
yeah.
Registered.
Yes.
And Hud Spence, and there's Bird Songs, and there's Old Fashioned Black in Town, and there's Maryland Hounds, and all of these kind of dogs.
Well, you see, all those dogs.
I haven't owned all of them, but I mean, I knew all of them. I've had some that's crossed up with most all these breedings.
Well, what did you just stayed with those walkers.
What? Well, here's the thing about it. The walker dogs was the most popular dogs, and if it's not a full-blooded registered dog, you know,
mm-hmm.
on these field trials, you don't get as much credit for them if you hunted them.
Oh, I see.
When I started, last time I was going to go to these field trials and got sick and couldn't work and couldn't weren't able to hunt and couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
I did my dogs train themselves mostly. And my friend had come in, they liked to hunt, they'd come go hunt with me and help me pick up the dogs. See, there's a while I couldn't walk 50 yards.
But those dogs just trained.
I could head out just I had to train them to come right back to me.
Mm-hmm.
I could drive out there. Then I got 4 years, I couldn't even drive.
Mm.
Couldn't put stand this leg. You seen the one that's rough
that's right.
up to my knee.
Well, those dogs are still hunting pretty good, though.
Oh, yeah, they're naturally, they're the best hunters they are. That's the reason that I like to keep them.
Well, I thought those Trigs and those Julys would do about the same as a walker.
Well, July, back at, when they were, back when in 19 and 5, 6 and 7 and 8 and 10 along there, the July was a much better dog than it is today, except in speed. I think they've crossed out and got some greyhound in the Julys now, most of them, because they'll run and jump these fences 8, 10 feet high, you
mm-hmm.
know, and go right on over, and they're faster than
you
the
seen them do that?
Huh?
You seen them jump like that?
Yeah, you take these long-necked Julys, you see a picture in there and everything. I could, then some of the magazines, they got a few Julys putting them in this magazine. You didn't have them but walkers.
Well, your dogs didn't jump like that, did they?
No, mine's walker dogs. They've been trained and bred to run fox, and you can make cat dogs out of them. Some of them don't make good cat dogs.
They don't jump a fence?
They'll jump a fence, but not like those Julys. They ain't got the greyhound to speed in them.
Oh, yeah.
You see, they've bred these last greyhounds, a lot of them, is for speed. And they won't get down and trail. A walker dog will get down and trail and go around and that not pay no attention to a cow or nothing.
Mm.
A lot of Julys will run stock. I won't have one of them.
Oh, you just always had those walkers.
I've not always had them, but since they got to breeding wrong, oh, you couldn't give me a July dog.
Oh, you had
not now. Not the way they're breeding them now. There's one time a mighty fine dog. In fact, the walker dog is the old original July way back in the 80s. That dog was just kind of like the July, the walker dogs is now. Only they breeding walkers to hunt, strike, and trail, and drive,
mm-hmm.
and run the track close, and July to circle way yarn and skip ahead. You get them a babble, you get them a cut, won't pack. When another dog catches them, they'll quit and cut around and get ahead, then burst up the races. Well, people, have you ever been to old-fashioned singing?
Oh, yeah.
You have.
It was old singing, all those people.
You ever hear the old Fossil Law singers?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no.
You never did hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I got the history of that.
Mm.
Yes, wait, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of those dogs? Have you always breed your own dogs?
Well, I breed them, but I have to breed them to somebody else, you know, or let them breed to mine. We swap.
Back and forth.
We get it. I always, if a feller, if I wanted it, if he didn't have the money, or anything like that, they'd usually bring me some feed, or either they'll do this. I didn't go out for breeding and selling dogs. Never have done that.
Yeah.
I meant to, but I got where I couldn't handle them and sick, and it takes a lot of work to train dogs.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got one old dog and two or three old ones, take puppies out there and just train them with these one dog, they'll train themselves. You don't have to worry about it. But if you haven't got this old dog to start with, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And it's hard
but
to train.
You've had some good sires.
Yeah, I've had good dogs. A lot of dogs. I've owned registered dogs wasn't registered in my name because I didn't care nothing about it. I wasn't in the dog business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really been in the dog business. I bought dogs and they didn't like when I was able to buy them. I'd buy them, and if I didn't like them, I'd either give them away or let somebody else have them. You see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if they come along, wanted them, you see, I'd tell them why I didn't like them, you know, and if they wanted them, if they wanted to give them money back, I'd let them have them like that. But for going in and selling, buying and selling dogs, I've never just been a dog dealer.
Mm-hmm. And are your sires, are they good out in the field too?
If they ain't of this breeding a dog, just like these dogs, has won the USO, some of these back at, back of these dogs that I have, they won these high United States, and even England brought dogs over here and Canada, all over the States. You see how they advertise in
sure.
there?
Right.
Now they come, the USO will come out now, they had the USO in North Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if I'd had the money, been able, I'd have went up there and went to that USO just above where I lived. A lot of my people, some of my cousins are in there. People be up there, probably run some dogs on the U.S. Cost you $30, and I can't do that.
Mm.
To run them on, and $30 belong to it. All I could have done is just went up there and looked on.
Yeah, that's what I got into with cattle. If you're going to breed them and sell them, you had to...
Yeah, the same thing. You know, we were talking about that.
You had to be a party man.
You got to be into it, and you got to go... You'd have to go to all these meets here, wouldn't you, and study and all these shows.
Yeah, that's too much.
Well, you see, all I care about, I like just to hear them run.
Yeah.
And getting where I'm not...
Well, what's the best one you've heard run, Mr. Weaver? Well, around here now, you haven't had any trouble around here until just recently, yes.
Back no, we used to didn't have no trouble. Listen.
Yeah.
They used to, all the cattlemen and the hunters cooperated together. They liked each other.
Yeah.
But we got dog jockers in here stealing dogs and kill you, because they're like killing your cow. They'll do that.
You mean back then?
No, not then.
Yeah.
They didn't.
They'd
kill a few cows back then, but very seldom.
Yeah.
All right, we hunters would help the cattlemen look after their cattle. And if we seen the fence down, I'll fix it. You go over here and ask these Richardsons. I used to have the Richardsons cabbage and stuff all like that.
Yeah.
When I was in the commission business, I couldn't buy it. I didn't have the money. I'd have to banks went broke.
Yeah.
And I could tell you lots of stories that you'd like to hear, but then it kind of upsets me to try to remember and talk too long.
Well, then you could just let your dogs run, couldn't you?
Huh?
I mean, you could just let your dogs
run. Well, I'd rather hear my dogs run. It's just like going to those singing conventions, you know, that probably you. I know you've been to them in Tennessee.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Mr. Weaver, Rick, he needs to get back over there. See, if you can't get back on those days where you didn't have trouble.
Let me tell you, they used to, when I was a little boy, my father and grandfather, and I'd hear all the hunters back then, my uncles talking about it. The dogs would get after a deer, and they'd run maybe 40 miles.
40 miles.
And that poor dog would be run to death, and he'd pass to anybody's house. They'd take that dog guy and go out there and run and get him some feed right quick and feed that dog.
Is that right?
And if they kill that deer, they'd cut off its foot or something tied around its neck and feed it up, and it'd lie around on 2 or 3 days, and they'd eventually go back home and go in there with a note on it. Who done this?
Is that right?
Now, that's what you call living.
Yeah.
Your dogs come back like that sometimes?
Well, mine come back about a dog. Now, I had old Yon and they got that, and they got here. They stole that dog and carried that up there and gave it.
Let's stay back in the time where you didn't have trouble a little bit.
Did Julie ever come back like that?
Huh? Mine has been gone 3 and 4 and 5 days that it didn't see him.
Which dog was that?
Old Dan was going that way one time back over here close to Windsor, but they didn't catch him, but he got after a fox and he run the fox and left, and some of them came back that night. Then now, since the morning, you know, and some of them came in, got in about after dark, and they had swum over lakes and ponds with muck all over them. And Dan, I don't know what he didn't want to come through that muck coming back. He went with a year old. But
a bald eagle ever do that?
Bald eagles come back. He never did stay too long, bald eagle, though. And I've had nearly all of them be gone 2 or 3 days, you know.
Mm.
My dogs, I used to run the cats with them, and there's panthers in here. That's where a lot of the stock is being killed, and it's getting law to kill them.
Oh.
I can tell you some of those stories, too, about that, what I've seen of those. My dogs, the cat dog will run a panther.
Yeah.
And if they get after that, it may go 40 miles back in here and take
your
dog several days to get back. We've known some to be around the panther that's never come back.
Yeah.
And followed from up here on Payne's Brae, run the panther plumb on over to the other side of Island Grove, and the fellow eventually got all the dogs back but one. He never has seen it.
The whole pack lit out after the panther.
Yeah.
But
he rode one horse down, stopped out down there, Wooded Coleman, out there at the junction. That nigger. This was a nigger's dog. I'd hunted with him way back when he kept dogs. And he had good ones, too, now. And I don't think he didn't. So that he got after that old panther up there at Payne's Prairie, right up there before you cross the causeway there. And hit run down, and he got the Wooded Coleman. He had followed all back in yonder. See, I was open woods at that time. He could ride through that.
Oh, that Pfeiffer land.
And, you can hunt on that if you got a permit. I got a permit in my pocket to hunt on their place anytime I want to. You see, I can't go on your place down here without a permit.
Well, now, go ahead with your dog, yeah. So he went on, clear on down
went
to the
Went on, and he stopped, and he had run his horse so trying to keep up with him, following his dogs, until he stopped and got borrowed one of Woodard Coleman's horses and run it to across to pass Island Grove back in yonder.
Trying to keep up with his dogs.
Trying to get his dogs and catch him and catch his dogs, because he knew he was after a panther.
Yeah.
Well, I've had mine run one and catch him. And just soon as I find out it's a panther, I've had him to be going all day long running the panther and leave, going out towards Williston, and begin to come back that afternoon, you know, and it'll be about dark before any of them got back and run that panther.
Yeah.
Look it out, y'all, just outside to make an open run in there. Mine made one up right over here one day, right up here. And I started to go out to it, and every dog I had, and man, he come back with tail between his legs, going to my hunting for me in my truck. And that panther young dog went back out there and run right up to me, and you know, I didn't have a pocket knife. I threw up my hands and hollered. And he was about to catch my dog, too. And I bluffed that panther, and he skidded. But I didn't know it was a panther when he run up. I thought it was somebody big old German Shepherd.
Oh, really?
It didn't scare me one bit, because I didn't know what it was. I've told people, make them think, you know, that it didn't scare me, you know. Yeah, I didn't tell them to start with, you see, that I didn't know what it was to start with. Well, my other dog went away on around, struck the fox, went the other way, and that's why this young dog got on the tracks, went on around, and didn't get him until that afternoon. All of them came back in there, but I didn't go out there and look at that panther. After I went back and looked at the sign, I didn't go out there in that pile mud patch where they bayed at, because I stayed out, and I was watching behind all
the time. Mr. Weaver, who's the best people you've hunted with?
Well, sir, I believe I'd have to say just as good I've had some cousins and some friends in North Alabama and some several down here in Florida. They're all good. And had they had good dough. But a man I thought was as honest and fair was, he's passed away several years ago, was from a lot of way, Mac Millen. He used to come down here and cat. He didn't know them cat on.
Yeah.
And we'd happen to be out and our dogs would get together, you know, hunting, you see. And he was the best old fella. He cared three or four of his hands on his pickup to, if he got to see, we didn't have his highways in. Mm-hmm. And if we got stuck, he had enough fire to pick him up and take his cars right on out and follow him. He'd go right on to the places that had me following with the T over the A model now. He says, come on, follow me. He says, I got plenty of help here. Get stuck, they'll pick it up and throw it out for you. We went on and followed in all these places around in here. One day, now they got back on the little store, I got to tell you a little touch of this in with that.
Now, don't leave Mac Millen.
Well, I'm going to. Mac Millen's the man I'm going to tell you about. One day we was talking, you know, he said, Mr. Weaver, he said, talking about little Julie now, that little dog back in the 30s. He said, just what would you take for that little speckled female you have? I says, Mr. Mac Millen, I says, she's just not for sale. I wouldn't sell her. I tried to give away when she was a puppy and I couldn't. She's the best dog, one of the best cat dogs I've ever owned, and good a fox dog, never been defeated. And as he said, well, I'll tell you, I've been over $200 for one of my dogs. He says, I believe, if anything, she's just a little better than my dog. Now, when a man tells you that, he's honest. about your cow, if a man got
and
a little.
He come from up there around Latchway.
Yeah, well, this side of Latchway.
Yeah.
What's that little turpentine station? He run a turpentine business up there. He had plenty of money.
Oh, did he?
He wanted me to price it. I says, I wouldn't even price her for $500. I says, I'm going to keep her till she dies. And that's a dog and wife turned out to get poor. Now, I don't like to talk about that.
Now, his name was Mac Millen.
Mac Millen.
Well, did you call him Mr.?
I sure called him Mr. Mac Millen.
Yeah.
And I was taught that when I was a boy, and boy, I'd have
got
poor.
Well, I mean, you don't even know the rest of his name.
No, I called him Mr. Mac Millen. That was his surname.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've heard it, but I don't remember it right now.
Yeah.
I can't recall it right now. Because I call it Mr. Mac Millen.
What did he have, an old Model T?
He had a Model A pickup. I told you had back at that time.
Model A pickup.
And you had
And then he'd bring two or three niggas with him.
Yeah.
To pick him up and take him out of the
road. Yes, sir, and he'd follow those dogs, too. And he had good dogs.
Oh, he didn't stay there in one place and wait.
No, see, I hunt was just
strike out on foot.
Huh?
He strike out on foot after those dogs?
No, he didn't. But he drove around. I'd help pick that tarpa. He'd get that out of that mud and water. If he went down to the axles, he'd come out.
He could go through all these through the woods on these old logging trails.
Yeah, that's what we had. And these turpentine trails. That's
turpentine.
Where we traveled in. You see. Of course, if it's too bad we didn't go in, we'd have to turn around and go back the way around. But ordinarily, boy, you couldn't have went through by yourself. Sometimes we'd go on through. I followed him around, and I didn't think either one of us get near through that. And we both, I followed him. He said, follow me, I'll get you out. Well, now you got to hand it to a man. All right, there's a fella.
Now, when did you hunt with him? What...
I was in the 30s.
What good hunt did you have with him, Mr. Weaver?
Well, it was just those cat huntings when he'd come down in here. We didn't go off on fields out. He and I didn't. We just liked to hunt, and we didn't have. He had to tend to business, and our
Well, he had to get on back.
And I couldn't go with these hunts. I had to try to make a living then, you see.
Well, I mean the good hunts that you had for cats. And
oh,
that.
Well, we can't hunt. See, they've got a lot of fenced up and posted.
I mean, the one that you all went on, there, good hunt when you all went out there.
Well, we was out around Micanopy. He'd just come down here hunting around in here, and I'd go out in there. Go out to Rochelle Road, route around River Styx, you know. And just like, I'd like to tell you a whole lot.
Around the River Styx, you could get out in there?
Oh, I can hunt anywhere in this whole country, nobody. And it's just as nice. And if they could, if your dog come up to their house, they'd send you word or catch it for you if you told them to. And if you didn't tell them to, they wouldn't catch it. And I went out and picked up.
Well, they done that down here, too, at one time.
Well, they done it. That's what I'm talking about, here and up in Alabama, too.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't think about stealing a dog. Very seldom a dog is ever, you ever missed a dog, and people will notify you. We had two stolen up in Alabama when I was a little boy about this.
You sent word. What to do? Send word to you? Notify you?
Yeah, if your dog is there and if your dog got lost off and it's starting hungry, they'd let it lie around there at the house and take care of it for you.
Well,
and
I'll
send
be.
You word, and he'd eventually get up and rested up and come home.
Oh, he'd rest up a little bit.
Yeah, they'd run till they'd just be plumb give out and couldn't go, and they'd walk and they'd stop, you know, and if any people back at that time, see our dog out down there. And now then, you can always tell one of my dogs. If somebody don't do like they did do positive time, they take the collars off your dog.
But you didn't have collars then?
I did back in the 30s, but we did when back in Alabama. We didn't go off hunt like we did down here. After we got down here and we went to go a long ways to hunt, we always put a collar.
Macmillan was one of the best ones that you hunted with.
He is one, but I hunted lots of them. I had some cousins up there in Alabama just as straight and honest and fair with you and a lot of other people up there did. There's some few people, you know, wasn't fair up there.
But your cousins were.
Did, and they had good dogs, too.
Now,
they
did?
I'm not kidding you. Heard the special registered dogs.
Yeah.
One of them had a Williams.
A Williams.
And Williams is this where I got this red spot at. When Williams died, he had married one of the Walker's sisters. And when this red spotted puppy, Williams took him and registered him as Williams. And it says black and white spotted, and Walker took him and registered him as Walker dog.
Is that right?
Then when he died, they took these Williams dogs and crossed them back in as Walkers, you know. They was Walkers, the same breeding up, but Walkers started back in the
1970s.
Yeah. And all like that.
And that's what your cousins had.
Now,
But around here, Macmillan was about the best fellow you hunted with.
Well, you take Baxler. Well, there's a lot of them.
Who?
Baxler, he passed away a few years ago. He had good dogs. Neil Adams and Gainesville had good dogs. They were good hunters.
Baxler, what'd y'all hunt?
Baxter and I, we fox and cat hunted, but they deer hunted with theirs, but we didn't have no deer around here at that time.
Oh, I see.
They could run there, we could hunt together, but now I can't hunt with these fellas, got deer. I'm afraid my young dogs are starting.
I was Baxter, was he back in the 30s too?
Yeah. I went out and caught, picked up his dogs and Neil Adams and man asked the man what he charged for catching them and letting me know about it. And some of them, very few, don't want to take any money for it.
Baxter and Neil Adams.
I'd go out, I've hunted down a great deal, and Wirt Carter still living over here at Fairfield. You ought to see him.
Who?
Wirt Carter can tell you a whole lot.
He is still over there?
Yeah. He's a, of course, if y'all want to write stories about it, that's the way these writers do. They go.
We don't want to write stories about it. We want to write about your experience with them. That's all.
Well,
just yours.
Well,
we don't want to work Carter. Who is Work Carter?
Work Carter is a fine hunter.
Hunted
ever since I've hunted with him ever since back in the 1930s.
Where does he live? Fairfield?
He lives out the other side of Fairfield. And he's a fine man, too.
Yeah.
And he
still got dogs?
I don't know. I haven't heard from him in about a year, but he's down pretty low. He said the cats had killed all his dogs nearly.
Oh.
Bobcats has taken this country, and panthers, and they've even got bear around here, too. There are quite a few bear around in here.
You mean bobcats? Is that plentiful?
Ooh, man, I bet there's I bet from Payne's Prairie and around in here and back across to Loch Lucy and there, there's 500 cats.
That many?
Is that right?
We hunters kept them killed up, but we can't go now. There's a fellow that stopped
me. Well, let me tell you, let's not get off on now. I'm at good time, you see.
You want
Carter.
To get some history of that back then.
I don't want the history, I just want the experiences.
Well, I'm
and I don't want unpleasant experiences.
Well,
I want some of the nice hunting you did.
Some nice, good hunting?
Yes.
Poor
well,
like
it Buck. All goes along with it, nice and the bad.
What is your name? What Carter?
What Carter? What Carter over there?
C-A-R-T-E-R?
C-A-R-T-E-R. Carter, I believe it's the way it's spelled. C-A-R-T-E-R. I believe that's the way it's
spelled. And his first name is Work.
Work, Work, Work. Something. I can't speak it on account. See, I can't talk good like I used to good.
Well, that's what you
team.
Said the other day, Mr. Weaver. Now, where'd y'all run?
Well,
you don't have to let me.
We run all around in here, back over across the river, back across the lake over in here, back the way on the other side of Fairfield, and around Spar and Anthony, back over on Citra, and across the river Styx, all over this country.
Well,
but,
that country, all that time, the 20s and 30s, this is all pretty. You could run anywhere, couldn't you?
Run anywhere and drive around, and people see your dogs, if you tell them to catch them, they'd catch them all over the country. And
Now, how'd this country right here look in the 30s? This place was here. It was farming.
Oh, there's a lot of farming in here, Richardson. There's a lot of farming.
Yeah.
But you know what? So, before. Now, listen, I don't like to maybe getting you all kind of mixed up on what you want, but you can take what you want to of it and leave off what you want to.
Sure.
My dogs was running all around in here, and they didn't care anything, but somebody just said had a red dog and a black one.
Yeah.
And now a fox and a foster hunt right in here, your dog, your cows wouldn't pay much attention to my dogs. My dogs won't do nothing but run around them or go right away. If a fox goes through them, they'll go around and they won't go hardly up too close to them.
Sure.
Let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, now, Work Carter, was he any kin to old man Ed Carter?
Ed.
Ned Carter, Bill Carter, Jim Carter, lived out there. Where'd you turn off? You turn off out down here at the drugstore and go. What is his name?
You mean Ed Rush.
Rush. How in the world I get Carter out of Rush?
You mean Ed Rush. He's a good old hunter. He's a good hunter, but he burst up racers running in and hollering and interfering with the dogs, you know, just his way of hunting, you see.
How'd he do that?
Run in there and go to hollering. If your dog used to be in coach, you know, and you didn't holler at your dog, he'd make him quit and be afraid to run, thinking you wanted him to stop.
Oh, really?
And he didn't mean any harm by it.
Yeah.
Good fella. I would have hunted him a many time. He is old, you know. In fact, let him keep a dog I had a long time.
Yeah.
He was supposed to have bought the dog from me, but he didn't. I had $50 in the dog, and he wanted it, and he was supposed to give him money back, but he never did.
And you went with him many times.
Oh, he come up here during the war, and I sold my truck. It wore out and got so bad, and I couldn't get parts to fix it. I just had to sell it and not have nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't have a way. He'd come up here to get me and my dogs to go cat hunting, carry me hunting, and stay with him, have me pick my dog up and bring him back. And if he wanted to borrow a dog, I'd let him use mine.
Which dog? Was that Julie?
Huh?
That
no,
Julie?
I didn't let nobody have that dog.
Well, which dogs were that he hunted with?
That was old Sunders. I was about 12, 15 years ago. Between 12 and 15 years ago. I mean, I'd hunt with him way back down in the 30s.
That's what I was talking
about. I run little Julie, get all those dogs. She beat everything they had.
Well, now back in the 30s, he wasn't an old man.
He was middle-aged then.
Yes.
But he passed away about 10 years ago.
I know. But when he was middle-aged now, he didn't go out there and break up the hunt then.
Well, yeah, he hollered. You know, he didn't mean to do it. But it didn't interfere with some dogs. You see, if... Well, I hunt mine. When I used to call my dogs, I trade them. I don't say nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
I turn them loose.
Mm-hmm.
They learn to go and get that fox out me going and doing the right work.
Sure.
I just sit down and listen.
Oh, you hear them.
And after a while, you'd hear them somewhere.
Well, now, how did he do it?
He'd drive around, hunt for tracks, and put them after something like that, and hunt and drive all day and all night and never find a race. And you take dogs, these walking dogs, and go on and hunt. He didn't want dogs, he couldn't stay right with it. And after, they didn't hunt like I did. Now, I hunt like these here that you're reading about, these field trials.
Well, now, how'd he hunt?
I told you.
He got on the track.
He hunted till he could find a track in the road and turn his dogs loose.
And then he'd stay with those dogs?
Well, he'd drive around and stay with them best he could then.
Oh, I know.
If they struck.
Yeah. And after they struck, he'd go help them?
No, all he could do, he'd go along and holler, but dogs don't pay no attention to you unless you make it. If he'd been used to being stopped and not being... And you run up right in the crowd of dogs and them come across, walk across, and you run up a high and catch him. Well, these dogs like I've got will turn and go the other way. They think that means not do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to watch fellas like that.
Oh, I see. But his were used to it.
Yeah, and they didn't think of that. That encouraged them up to make them go faster,
you see.
Excite them. But you either make a fox or a cat turn back and get the dog excited and then lose it, you never run it anymore. I've seen him do that, and you never get it there anymore.
Yeah.
In fact, I said when they do that, I'd catch my dogs because I didn't want my dogs running.
Yeah.
Just as soon as I get my hands on mine, I'd catch.
Well, now let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, we'll let you catch your breath now. We got some nice things. We can talk about old man Ed Rush and Macmillan up there at Lactry out there, that turpentine man, and this Carter fella.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can stay back in there. At the time that people would help you keep up with your dogs.
Well, it's interesting to people that haven't had the chance to have the experience.
That's right.
Now, you see, you all still don't understand it. Either one of you get out and get in it. You may like it, but you'd like to see that old cat run up a tree that way and the dogs run by him, and just as soon as they get out, Johnny, he jumps off and backtrack he goes. Get up on the highway and make a circle around this way, a dog can't smell him on the highway.
They're smart, the cat.
They're smart to that.
He does what on the highway?
He gets up on the highway. A dog can't wind him close enough to just wind him in the air. He can't smell on the highway.
There's too many other smells.
Yeah. That odor and that asphalt and all that cat, a dog can't take it in his nose.
And a cat knows that.
Yeah, and a fox too. I've seen him do that, go around and around. And an old dog will get wise to that and he'll he'll make a circle around you, and he'll his head up in the air because he knows, sticks the nose down there, what it does for him. Now, this last over yonder, I got to go three hunts before they got my dog, and it sure messed me up. I seen a little young fox, the dogs were running out there, and so before we'd see him young, and we wouldn't say a word to the fellas was hunting with him. We're a good hunter, just let the dogs alone. We didn't try to put them after it, show them. We let them see it couldn't work out, let the little fox go.
Yeah.
We don't want to kill them because foxes, that does you more good than it does you harm, but a bobcat won't. He'll get anything that you don't want him to get near.
Yeah.
That little fox, you just let on go?
There was more to you than a house cat or a dog.
Mm.
They catch more rats and more bustards of man feeding. I can talk 2 weeks right here for you.
Yeah.
Mm.
On experience.
Okay.
But I just can't.
But
well, that's a good bit so far. I mean, that's a good bit. we work with that.
Well, I just spotted it around. It's just spotted.
Let me tell you, Ms. Weaver, we'll kind of go back over this now. Now, what he's working with you on now is the dogs. And don't get off on your relatives and mean things. And
I don't like to do that.
And you talk yourself down on things that he ain't interested in.
Well, you got...
Now, he's going to take you home now. Just let him... Go ahead. Why in the hell are you studying that? Go ahead and get him. And keep... You see what we want. We want some of your good experiences where the dogs act like dogs.
Well, I like to tell that, too.
Well, don't tell the other.
It's best to tell the best, but listen.
Well, go
if
ahead.
If you don't tell the whole story,
now.
Man, don't get it all.
Well, I don't want the whole story.
I don't like to talk anything like the devil's work. I don't like that.
Now, you stay a little while with him, Rick.
Channel 2 over. The end of the visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday morning, the 7th of January, 73. Channel 2 over, I don't know, around 1600, and the end of the visit with Mr. Weaver on this working tape. We're trying to get his experiences with his dogs. And we never had it, and we still don't have much of it. Channel 2 over, around 1500, I judge. And the end of this visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday morning, the 7th of January, 72.
Doctors have resurrected him two or three times. I mean, he's gone. Well, I got a lot of trash.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Weaver.
But now you see that, you have to kind of work for it, don't you? Now you see, you go down and look for old man Watt Carter at Fairfield. But you can't go down there and say, now I want to talk about dogs. It don't work like that. They can't talk with you, just sight and see. So, I think we'll see what Rick's got.